This is Meredith Cooey with WGXC 90.7 FM. I am here with artist, sound designer, and composer Scooby Leposky in the Acre Studio. Thank you for joining me, Scooby.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me a bit about yourself? What do you do? What do you make?
Sure. My name is Scooby Leposky. I'm a sound artist, sound designer, was a former club DJ for many years. My focus right now is using nature, you know, for most of my projects, through biodata sonification. I'm based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and also spend time upstate in this area.
This past season, Leaf Out to Leaf Drop, you had a project called Hidden Life Radio that was installed here at Wave Farm and other locations in the Hudson Valley. And I know this is not the first iteration of the project. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about it, what inspired it, the different locations.
So Hidden Life Radio was inspired by the book Hidden Life of Trees. It started in Cambridge. I got a grant from the city to do the first installation there. And it was kind of to bring awareness to the urban canopy because Cambridge's trees were disappearing. Since I think the last 20 years, there was like a definite drop in the urban canopy because of all this development. And so I was talking to, just people around the city, parents at the playground, and they knew about my work with plants, and someone had mentioned, why don't you, do something with the trees to kind of get people considering the urban canopy in another way, because I feel like people in general, when they think about trees, it's maybe like shade on a hot sunny day, or like when they're going to pick apples in an orchard, or like leaf peeping in the fall. So Hidden Life Radio was this idea that if I could sonify, the tree's leaf cycle for the entire time to kind of create this long form, I called it radio because it was kind of like a broadcast that you could tune into, 24 hours a day to hear the tree's activity. So people could, think about like, oh, I wonder what, the trees are doing right now. And, maybe if there was, like a rainstorm coming through the city or the area, what that would sound like versus, like a hot, dry, sunny day or a cold, autumn day. So really to get people to kind of consider trees in another way and kind of unlock these sort of like these hidden qualities.
I have so many thoughts about trees and trees in personhood and trees as beings that have something to say to us. But before we get there, I wanted to ask more about biodata sonification. So can you describe that process?
Sure.
How it works, how you got into it?
Initially, it was the device was created by a small collective in Philly. And it was really for like at that time for artists and musicians to use some, this biological component in their creative practice. So it was a Kickstarter campaign that I became aware of. And, it sounded like an interesting thing, that there was like a way to use all my houseplants in my studio, to generate, like melodies and harmonies. I guess everyone experiences kind of like, writer's block or creative block. I'm like, oh, if I, can't think of something, myself, like I could be this kind of like collaborative thing with the plants that I have. And I like the idea that they were this sort of like, kind of like a living module that, that all these other factors, would influence, the music that it would create. So the sonification, it measures the electrical resistance, and those measurements get turned into MIDI notes. And so once you have the MIDI, you can use it in like numerous, almost like endless ways, once you have the MIDI data, the note data. So you can use it to trigger instruments. It could be, melodic, harmonic, even percussive. So that really interested me. And then when I had an opportunity to take that, technology out of the studio and do kind of a performance at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, that's when it kind of opened up where I'm like, wow, if I, kind of go to these like places and have this sort of on-site kind of performance that's really specific to the plants that are there. And like at the Gardner, they have like a really amazing courtyard. It's kind of famous for that, like all the plants at the horticultural staff you know, or in care of. And so it was like in an indirect way, kind of collaborating with what they were doing, you know, even just the plants that they were kind of showing at the time. And then just like all of the care that they put into, you know, keeping these plants healthy, that all influences, you know, what you ultimately hear, you know, once the, my system is connected to the, you know, to the plants. So I like that it wasn't all kind of, I've been thinking about this, like, kind of decentering as an artist, like how much of myself needs to be, a part of the process to, you know, to say I'm the artist and, you know, to create the work, you know, like that. I like that part of it is like out of my hands.
And so the sensor, so up here, you know, I saw that there were two electrodes, right? That yes. Attached to leaves. And then what is the information that those sensors are picking up?
Sure. So it's reading the electrical activity. And the more, it's reading the resistance. So the more that the plant is active, the less it's resisting. So those values get mapped to notes, like through code. So like in the kind of biodata kit that was like installed in the canopy, that actually all of the kind of all of the mapping, I guess the data mapping already happens in the kit. And then it just sends that MIDI data to the computer that was inside the research library here. And then that MIDI data then is triggering like a whole like host of virtual instruments that then get live streamed in real time. So the idea was that everything happens, you know, with minimal latency. So if you tune in, you're really hearing what the you know, what the device is measuring at that moment, you know, with the, like the tree's activity.
Did you notice major differences between the different locations this season?
Actually, yes. I felt like over here it was like slightly warmer than the other two locations that I was using. So I think that it, like, you know, those definitely factor into what you're hearing. So sometimes it'd be very active over here, you know, maybe because it rained and the tree was like actively transpiring, you know, the rainfall. And then over on the other side of the river, like at Interlude Artist Residency was one of the other kits. And then the Klaverick Free Library, they had one of the other kits as well. So that like those two locations are, I think, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes from each other. So it's much like the weather is much closer than like over here. So it could be busy over here, you know, the music would be crescendoing, and then there it could be much more subdued and quiet. So even though like it's a matter of, you know, like a 40-minute drive, however many miles that is, it was, you know, you could definitely tell there was a difference by just listening to those live streams.
I think we should listen to some of this. Which date should we pull up?
I think we could start with the very first kind of broadcast, the first live stream, which was, I think it was the 4th of July is when it started here at Wave Farm. Thank you.
So Scooby, can you describe a little bit about what we're listening to right now?
Sure. So this is the very first day, full leaf out. The ash tree that the system was connected to had, really, really nice green canopy. So what you're hearing here is actually all the instruments being triggered, because the electrical activity is so high that it's triggering kind of everything that was set up in the kind of virtual instrument system. So you're hearing the kind of a top line, more like a melodic synth over those synth pads. When the system, when the tree activity is lower, then you kind of hear more droney stuff, and you don't hear that kind of top line melody. So this is really kind of indicative of like the tree is very active at this moment.
And so you said that this recording from August has some more of a drone to it. And so let's listen to some of that and, yeah, hear the difference, and you can talk about
it. Sure. So on this day, it was like August 18th, there was a big storm system that came through over here. I always like to tune in, when there's like very like definitive like weather differences. And so what you're hearing, kind of settles into this drone. So I think it's like, I don't know if it's part of the tree, like, transpiring, like moving all that water that had fallen, hours earlier. But I'm always fascinated by like how much the music changes from like really melodic, like, the very first day that you just heard, to something like this where it kind of drones, and it may drone for hours and then shift as, the tree's activity changes. But usually the drone kind of signals that, the electrical activity that's being measured, the value doesn't change. So it's kind of just playing the same notes essentially, because it's doing the electrical activity remains like at the same level.
Do you consider plants to be your collaborators then? If so, what's it like to collaborate with them?
Sure. Definitely. I think, plants, trees, and then kind of nature is just like one sort of big system. Is a collaborator. It keeps me kind of in check as an artist, I guess, kind of like trying to like sort of minimize the ego of the artist, if you will. But I like that, there's a lot of factors that are out of my control, especially, working with the environment. There's a lot of discussion with the climate crisis, it's, human caused. So I guess you could say in some ways that humans are still involved with what you're hearing. But I like that there are like things out of my control that I just have to, I have to work with. For me, sometimes there's a tendency like, wanting it to do something or shift or, be more melodic at this point. But then it's, I've realized, okay, I've established this system and I'm just letting it run, and it's documenting this moment. So that's really what it is, versus me trying to make it something more than it is. And I like that it's like, okay, I just have to like let that go and realize that what they're creating is like what they're creating.
So two of the books you mentioned is influential, The Secret Life of Plants and Hidden Life of Trees. I was doing some reading of them, and one of the key things that seems to come up in both is the difference in the time scale of plants and trees to humans. And I really like what it says in Hidden Life of Trees, that trees live their lives in the really slow lane. I think that's so lovely. And the authors of Secret Life of Plants quote this Viennese biologist. It says, plants move their bodies as freely, easily, and gracefully as the most skilled animal or human, and that the only reason we don't appreciate the fact is that plants do at a much slower pace than humans. And that man merely thinks plants motionless and feelingless because he will not take the time to watch them. And so I think it's really interesting what you're talking about of like the plant isn't going to do what you want it to do immediately. And so I was wondering if you could talk about that sort of difference in time, you know, what it is to move slower and be, you know, at nature's time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I like that. I like the slow lane, you know, like being a middle-aged dad now. And I think it's, I don't know, like it's the right time for me to be doing this work and kind of like who I am as a individual. And, you know, with Hidden Life Radio, I just like the idea. You know, when I started with biodata sonification, I thought it was going to be like these kind of quick little hits, like, oh, do this, it's cool. And, you know, and then I can take that and manipulate it. And then I was like, what if I just connected it and just let it be connected and listen to it? And then, you know, reading Hidden Life of Trees and then learning that trees are on a much different, like, you know, time frame, in, you know, the slow lane. It's like, it, you know, it made sense to like connect it. And then, you know, for the natural leaf cycle, leave it connected and just listen and see what, you know, what the tree produces for 4 or 5 months. You know, it's like a really, I don't, you know, kind of, you know, like a humbling experience to just be on the tree's time versus like on the time, you know, human time or my time. Just listen to it, you know, and see what I noticed over, you know, the course of months versus really wanting the quick hits of like, you know, the tree, you know, thinking the tree is going to do something right away. So, you know, I'm really into long form, you know, music and drone music. So I'm like, wow, what if, you know, created this kind of like natural drone, this, you know, this piece, that just lasts for months and months. So, you know, like each day there was a 24-hour recording, but I would love to just have it be 4 months long. And this, I'm sure there's some technical, you know, limitations to just have, you know, a recording that just is that long. But I guess if you listen to the live streams in real time, it kind of existed that way, at least like once, you know, at like the duration of the project.
Sure. This also makes me think of, or I'm curious about also the indigenous and pre-Christian ceremonies that you also mention as influences, you know, and a lot of that, like ritual time is really different time as well. So could you talk a bit about those and if there's been specific ones that really have inspired you or what those sorts of conceptual frameworks are?
You know, I guess I'm always trying to, you know, get outside of my own head, which I feel like is probably pretty Western and, you know, and think of like, you know, how do other cultures, especially, you know, in the U.S., like the indigenous cultures, like the connection to nature is much different. It's much closer. You know, so, you know, for me, like using the biodata sonification, that's kind of a way for me to, you know, try to tap into this, you know, this system that's always, that's hidden. You know, I've been fascinated even by like, in terms of European stuff, like, you know, the Green Man tradition, you know, in England and like, so that's kind of like, that's been fascinating for me to see like, okay, you know, like, you know, there's this like rich history in England of people, you know, connecting to nature. You know, then you have like Druid culture as well. Yeah. So I guess there's nothing specifically, but, you know, thinking about how that separation occurred in like, you know, in like in the Western world, like that, yeah, that separation or that division between nature and humans.
Is there anything that you have noticed since you've been working with plants, like either with yourself or, you know, how people respond to this work? You know, it started with this inspiration to, you know, make the trees talk, you know, it seems like to people and what they're trying to say. Yeah, anything that you've really observed?
I mean, the reception has been like very positive. You know, people, once they kind of find out what I do and, you know, I try to explain it as best as I can, you know, like how it works and, you know, what the idea is behind it. People, you know, really appreciate that. And I think it kind of helps them kind of get into that slow lane. You know, people that are tuning into the live streams and people had, you know, reached out to me saying that they listened to it. They just had it on, you know, in the background all day. and they would take naps to it. Some people listened to it, you know, when they went to bed. And one woman reached out and said that she listened to a particular week that I guess I had archived at that point, but she was in a coma and she listened to, yeah, that week that was archived, you know, through the trees, and she wanted to re-experience that kind of lost week like in another way. And so she listened to see what, you know, what the trees were, you know, creating, you know, musically. And she was actually based in Cambridge. So I think it was like a shared experience that she had missed out on that she wanted to kind of regain by hearing what these trees were doing that week that she was kind of the lost week for her. That was very powerful that, you know, that I had never considered it, like the trees were kind of this conduit, you know, like she was able to kind of regain this lost time by just, you know, listening to what, you know, what the music they were producing through their like activity.
I love that. Trees as timekeepers, as opposed to like our 24-hour news cycle or something like that, right? It's like not catching up on the news, it's catching up on the trees.
It was really moving, you know, to hear that. It was like, that's how that she wanted to remember or regain that moment, is through, you know, through the trees, essentially.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or say about this project?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, really rewarding, you know, and it's cool to move it to different locations. You know, first it was Cambridge and then here, like upstate New York, and, you know, partnering with new folks like Wave Farm, you know, kind of creating this sort of this archive or this log of all these, you know, these different locations. And even within just like this area, you know, I try to pick different trees for each location, so you get a sense of like, oh, this, you know, the oak tree here in Livingston, the ash tree here at Way Farm. So when people go back to the archive, they can listen to the different days, and the, you know, the weather conditions are noted, you know, in general, like if there was rain that day, the temperature. So people could kind of get a sense of like, you know, what the tree was experiencing. You know, so the goal for Hidden Life Radio is just to have it move to different locations each year, and, you know, to just kind of keep building this archive so people can go and listen to, you know, the music that the trees have created.
And if people want to listen to the archive streams now, where would they go?
So if they go to the website, hiddenliferadio.com, you know, in the menu, there's like a live streams archive. So there's actually one tree is holding on for this year. There's a red oak tree that's got, literally has one leaf that had some color in it. I was just there today, kind of just doing the maintenance, and it's pretty much the upper canopy is totally gone, and the lower leaves are, they're brown and crispy, but there was one leaf within reach of the electrodes that I was able to move it over to. So I think there's several days left of the broadcast, but once that tree is done, I'll go through, and it's probably 5,000 or 6,000 hours of music. So I have to go through most of that and then figure out, you know, I try to have the archive represent, you know, different days. And so different, you know, you're hearing different sounds that correlate to the change in the weather and the climate and everything. So I think probably by the beginning of next year, I'll have the archive of the Hudson Valley locations.
Excellent. Very much looking forward to that. And I think to take us out, it would be great to maybe listen to some of the last day that was here at Wave Farm. And it was so surprising to me that, you know, I'd been experiencing this peace all summer, and then one day, all of the leaves were just gone. They were there one day, and then they were not the next. And such a funny experience. And so I'd love to just take us out with that. So thank you, Scooby, so much for joining me here in the Acres studio. And this has been Meredith Cooey for WGXC 90.7 FM.